This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. We love hearing from you right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many good affiliates, SiriusXM, Station 130, as well as through numbers of different platforms, including EWTN's app and EWTN.com. Always looking forward to knowing what is going on in your world, and so we're encouraging you to give us a call. Let me go right ahead and give you that number to use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So please do pick up the phone, give us a call. Let's know what's going on in your world and how it was that you spent your weekend and how it was that the Lord was with you in the midst of all of it. That's what we love to do. We love to have that holy conversation with you. We love to use these airwaves for the honor and the glory of our Lord. If you're a first-time caller, please be sure to let Ryan Penny know, and we will ring our first-time caller bell for you. We've got it right here at the ready. And we also want for you to know that you can communicate with us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement in there. And if you are a first-time submitter, let us know that too. And because you're a one-timer, first-timer rather, we will go ahead and ring the bell. We certainly hope you won't be a one-timer. We do want to hear from you frequently and a lot right here at EWTN. You know, it's an interesting thing, this life of union with God, isn't it? It's an interesting thing, the way in which He intervenes in our lives very unexpectedly. And I was just thinking to myself today about all the unexpected ways that He intervenes. And sometimes what we see, as being the worst situations turn out to be the very best situations for us. I was thinking this morning, in light of our Blessed Lady, as I was praying my rosary, about all of the travail that she suffered. Today being Tuesday, we pray the sorrowful mysteries. And I had been doing some reading over the weekend in preparation for some television programs later this week, and came across this beautiful meditation, I think. It was a statement. It wasn't made in a meditative form. It wasn't part of a grouping of meditations for the rosary, but it was just in the text of the book. But for me, it was a meditation, and it talked about how Jesus came, it was born, and Mary experienced no pangs, no birth pangs. She didn't labor to deliver our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So it was a painless delivery. But the delivery of each of you, each one of us, of you and me, that delivery was very painful. And that delivery came at the foot of the cross. And our Blessed Lady endured the entirety of our Lord's travail. She endured it mystically. And enduring it mystically, she felt all of that pain and all of that suffering. And what was happening? Well, she was giving birth to you, and she was giving birth to me. She was giving birth to the church. Those words that our Lord speaks, from the cross to John and to our Blessed Mother, son, behold your mother, mother, behold your son. Yes, specific to John, but John is standing in for each one of us. This is a statement. This is a bequest. This is a holy, holy benefaction of the Lord giving his mother to all of his brethren who form his mystical body, right? Mary had no other children besides Jesus. Any place in scripture where it talks about his brothers and sisters, it's really used in the sense of cousins. It's used in the sense of those that were part of his tribe, if you will, but not referring to biological. Otherwise, he would have never entrusted his mother to St. John. He would have had brothers and sisters to take care of her, but he didn't. Therefore, he entrusts her to John. And entrusting her to John, he entrusts her to all of us. And so in that entrustment, then, she's giving birth to us underneath that cross. And it's coming by way of her participation in the sufferings of her son as he hangs upon the cross, right? I was thinking about all of that, and I thought, my goodness, that pain, that suffering, so great, so real, so intense. We can't even begin to imagine it, crushing, the the reality of it, much too much for our minds to be able to grapple with. But Our Lady did it out of love for each one of us, and she wants to mother us under her Son. And, you know, so we look at that and we say, well, that's terrible that she had to endure that. But isn't it wonderful that she had to endure that? Isn't it wonderful that she gave fiat to enduring that? And so, you know, God oftentimes shows up in the unexpected ways, most typically in the unexpected ways. I was thinking about that in reference to the loss of my own son. And I remember very vividly that the only prayer that I could pray was the rosary. I've said this on the air before. And it was my lifeline. And it led me into these beautiful meditations about Our Lady and her suffering. And I remember at one point in time, I said, it might have even been out loud. I don't quite remember, but I said, and I was speaking to the heavenlies. I don't know if I was talking to my guardian angel, or I was talking to Our Lady, the Holy Spirit, but it was a question that I was putting before heaven. If Our Lady, if I am suffering this much over the death of my son, I who am a weak woman, a frail woman, a sinful woman, a woman that is moved by her own selfish motivations and desires, what must the pain have been like for Our Lady, who had none of that, who suffered that loss purely? There was no self-motivation. There was no weakness. There was no sin that dulled the blade of that sword. But that sword penetrated her heart purely, completely, totally. Our Blessed Lady, under her title of Our Lady of Sorrows, is often shown, most typically shown, with swords in her most immaculate heart, and there are seven of them. Does that mean that Our Lady only suffered seven times in her life, or that there were only seven groupings of sufferings in her life, or categories? No. In Sacred Scripture, seven is the number of completion, and it's the number of perfection. And so what is being said there is that Mary suffered completely, totally, with all of her being. And she suffered perfectly. It's an interesting thing to meditate about when we look at the setbacks that we experience, when we look at the different kinds of difficulties that we face, when we live in a time such as this. We need to meditate upon those realities. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in the midst of them. And what we end up discovering is that the greatest of blessings is hidden there. The greatest of blessings. We discover the pearl of great price. We get to taste the cost of our salvation, which always helps for us to praise and thank God for the gift of our salvation. And these unexpected ways, whether joyful or sorrowful, if we have the eyes of faith, reveal to us the face of God. So how have you seen God's face recently? I'd love to know that right here. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. Ryan Penny on the phones, Jeff Burson out there at Social Media Land, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's so good to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you. We're talking about, you know, these unexpected ways in which God shows up in our lives. Want to hear about how you have seen his face recently. We can all use that edification. So please do give us a call here. Toll free for you in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 1-800-926-9986. First-time caller, let Ryan know. I'll ring my bell for you to welcome you the first time to the program. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you to go on out there and check it out. The chat feature permits you to send your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up to us. You can see me out there, and I'm waving to everybody, hoping that you're having a beautiful day in the Lord. Use that chat feature, please. And if you are a first-time submitter, just let us know that in that chat, and we will be sure to ring the bell for you too. Always happy to do that. We've got all kinds of good things coming up at Women of Grace. Going to talk with you a little bit about those things for just a moment here. First of all, I want you to know that we are having a beautiful two-part Benedicta Enrichment Seminar with Dr. Carrie Gress on Conquering Toxic Femininity with Mary, Mother of God. It's going to be amazing. Dr. Carrie Gress is actually going to be with us on radio this Thursday, and we'll be talking about this upcoming event. So we certainly do want you to tune into radio this Thursday to hear Dr. Carrie Gress and get a little taste, little sample, right, little appetizer for the big event that's happening the 28th and the 29th from 7:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. It is an online event. So when you go out to our website, you can click on that event. It'll take you to a landing page and you can sign up right there. We're looking forward to having you with us. I'm telling you, it's going to be an important discussion. It's going to be an eye-opening discussion, and it's going to be a discussion full of hope. It really is. It's going to be full of hope. So we want for you to join us January 28th and 29th for that beautiful event with Dr. Carrie Gress. Additionally, listen to radio this week. You'll get a chance to hear from her. Also, Friday of this week on radio, we're going to be interviewing Michael O'Neill. He is the miracle hunter, and we're going to have the man himself with us on the air here. It's going to be fascinating. We're going to talk about all kinds of different miracles, how it is that he got involved in miracle hunting, who does such a thing. We'll be talking all about that with him this Friday. So all kinds of good stuff coming up for you this week here on EWTN Radio, and all kinds of good things happening at Women of Grace. So get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. I do want to let you know also, too, when you get out to our website, in the slideshow, number one is a beautiful webinar that we're talking with you about featuring Father Wade Menezes. Now, you all love Father Wade Menezes. I know you do. We love him. And he's going to be leading a webinar on his book, Overcoming the Evil Within, in preparation for Lent. That's going to be February the 10th. All of the information for you right there, that slideshow is a hyperlink. If you click on it, it's going to take you out there. It'll tell you about it. Our webinars are always held between 7:30 and 9 p.m. on a Wednesday evening, and he is going to be with us February 10th on Wednesday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. That's Eastern Time. There's a little blurb about it there, and you can register for that event too. So all kinds of beautiful things happening at Women of Grace. We're always about the business of helping you live that abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life with others. So let me tell you, we've got a caller, we've got a YouTuber. Let's go to YouTube because Rachel was first out here. She's first time on the show. So there's a bell for you to welcome you, Rachel. We're so happy you're with us. Do you have any advice, she's asking, on what is a good way to trust God? How can I let go of my worries? I have a very hard time with this. Well, Rachel, I've got a few suggestions for you, and I'm so glad that you want to get rid of worry. We all do. You know, it's impossible not to be concerned, but worry is another brand of things, right? Worry is something that we brood over, that it occupies our mind and attention. We're ruminating. It begins to become bigger than life, and we can grow that worry, and we can grow whatever it is that we're worrying about through the use of our imagination. So it should not surprise us that the use of our imagination is one of the ways in which we overcome worry. Jesus tells us in sacred scripture, fear is useless. What is needed is trust. Fear, that kind of fear that Jesus is referring to, here's an acronym for it, is false evidence appearing real. Generally, what we're worrying over, it might be a serious matter. You know, it could be a diagnosis of cancer. It could be, something that's threatening our families, like financial security or any number of things. It can be a very real looming situation. But when we worry about it, that fear exacerbates the situation, and we can begin to embroider that situation, embellish it with all kinds of other, attenuating concerns until this thing becomes like a woolly mammoth in our lives. You know, it's big, it's huge, it's frightening, and it occupies, it takes up all of our energy. And so that's bad, right? So that kind of fear is false evidence appearing real. Most of the things that we embroider around that basic concern are never going to happen, you know? So we're worrying about things that aren't going to happen. Jesus says fear is useless. What it is needed is trust. Trust is true resolve under severe testing. We're being severely tested here. And it is a matter of growing in trust of the Lord. It's like testing a muscle. You know, we test a muscle by putting a heavier weight into our hands and beginning to work with that heavier weight, even though maybe it's something that we're not really sure we can handle. But as we work with it, the muscle grows and we find that we're able to manage it. Well, it's the same with trust. It's a spiritual muscle. And the only way in which that spiritual muscle grows, where we find that we can really trust in God to a greater and greater extent, is by trusting in Him in the midst of trial. And it says it's true resolve. That's what really flexes the muscle, is true resolve. How do we practice that true resolve? Well, here's what we're going to talk about right now. The imagination. The same thing that wants to cause this thing that we're worried about to become, gigantic in proportion to what it really is, that same imagination can be used for the betterment. So when that worry comes upon us and we see ourselves going down that rabbit hole, no, we want to take control of our imagination. We want to take control of our emotions through an act of the will, and we want to redirect them. So here what we end up having is the imagination, being fueled by our emotions to go in a negative direction and make this thing bigger than it is, or just to brood over it, or to allow ourselves to be caught up in it. No, we're going to exercise the will, take control of our imagination, begin to think about other things. And the way in which we do that is we begin to think about all of the blessings that we've received from the Lord. We begin to recount all of the ways in which we've felt threatened in the past, and God's gotten us through. All of the times that He's shown up in the midst of very dire circumstances. Well, the Lord got me through this. The Lord got me through that. Oh, I remember this situation. My goodness, I didn't think I would ever manage that. But I made my way through by the grace of God. That encourages us to realize that if He's helped us then, He's going to help us now. And then we do the next thing. Because we know He's going to help us now, because we've used our imagination to think of all of these blessings and all of the ways in which He's shown up in the past in very dire circumstances, or tenuous ones, or worrisome ones, and all that stuff. Then we praise Him. Because now we see what He's done. And we praise Him in advance for what He's going to do about that which it is that we're worrying about. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done in the past. Thank You, Jesus, that You got me through this. Thank You, Father God, for sending the graces down from heaven that I needed precisely in that right moment. I thank all of the angels and saints for their intercession. Blessed Mother, I thank You for Your maternal beatitude. Father, You are fearsome. You are mighty. There is nothing that is greater than You. And I thank and I praise You for Your omnipotence. I thank You for Your all-powerfulness. I thank You for Your omniscience, that You know all things and You've already had the grace prepared for me in advance of this thing even occurring. Why so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Trust in God. I thank You and I praise You. And you go into this praise fest. And that releases endorphins, number one, that make you feel better. But number two, it's calling grace down from heaven. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And that's how you begin to grow. That's how you begin to take control of the worry instead of letting the worry take control of you. So you use the gifts God's given you. What are those two gifts? Those two gifts, the use of your imagination and the exercise of your will. So I hope that helps you, Rachel. God bless you. We're happy to hear from you today, and I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Also inviting you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and to put your question in there. Just like Rachel, let us know if you're a first-time submitter. We've got Philip out there on phone, and we want you to call us, 833-288-EWTN. And he is in Houston, Texas today. Good morning to you. How are you, Philip?
Hey, good morning, Jeanette. Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing dandy. Thank you for asking.
So I had an experience, and this normally doesn't happen to me. A few years ago, my brother died. And I pray for his soul as well as my parents on a daily basis and the souls in purgatory. I am told he was anointed, you know, when he was a thing. So I had an experience. I was dreaming one night, and then I see him, and there was a song in the background by James Taylor. Forgot about it. Had the same exact dream a second time and forgot about it. So then I completely forgot about it. I was driving to East Texas to go to a lake house where my wife was, taking the exit, and that song came on. And it reminded me that I had this dream. And I said, God, was there any meaning to that? I mean, I've had that dream and that song came on, and it just came on again. The very next verse of the song was, and then I heard a heavenly band full of angels coming to take me home.
Wow. Wow.
So I took that it was, I don't get a direct answer like that normally, but I took it as a direct answer that, yeah, he's safe, he's with me.
Oh, that is just beautiful. Just beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Philip. You know, it's interesting because we interviewed a fellow, Jim Papandrea, on his book, What Really Happens When We Die. And I think, I'm trying to remember if he's on this week or if he's on next week on our television program, Women of Grace, that airs at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN television. And I want to tell you, it was a fascinating two-part series with him on what really happens when we die and what goes on as the soul is separating the body and, you know, what goes on, you know, with the soul when it is separated from the body, you know, and it talks about these great realities. And listening to your story today, you know, it is not uncommon, really, that, you know, we get these little signs from heaven and that we sometimes hear in unique ways from our dearly departed loved ones. Now, this is nothing that we look for, and you didn't look for this. Uh-huh. This just came through dreams. We don't go to seances and all of that because we're not really communicating with our deceased loved ones. Then we're communicating with the demon. And we don't really want to communicate with them. But we do know that occasionally these things do happen. And again, Michael O'Neill, the Miracle Hunter, talks about some of these fascinating things too. So, you know, that what a beautiful gift from heaven. That was really a gift from heaven for you.
I praise God and thank him.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Here's, you know, and let me see where this is. I pulled this song up. You say it's a song by James Taylor, actually, right?
James Taylor, Country Road, yeah.
Yeah, Country Road. I have it here. So sometimes, you know, isn't it interesting even how God will speak to us through secular music sometimes, you know?
I was kind of shocked when I heard that. I said, wow.
Yeah, and twice, you know, So this was really a sign for you, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you. Keep praying for your brother because God anticipated all of those prayers, so they never go to waste, and I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Jeanette. God bless.
God bless you, too. Thank you. What an unexpected way. So there, our caller, Philip, saw the face of God, right? He saw the face of God. Well, let's put it this way. He heard the face of God, if such a thing is possible, through those lyrics and knew that he was getting a special blessing. How has God specially blessed you? I'd love to hear about your specially blessed story right here on Women of Grace Live. Let me go ahead and give you that number again. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we invite you to call us if you're outside of North America. Your number begins with country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. 1-800-875-8585. We will put you to the top of the line if, in fact, you are calling from outside of North America. So please do pick up the phone. Give us a call. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page available for you there. We certainly do invite you to use the chat feature. Both ways, let us know if you're a first timer so we can ring our bell and welcome you to the broadcast today. I'll share another little story from my own life of when God showed up in a beautiful way. And I think it was really through the intercession of my guardian angel. I was very sick, very, very sick. And I needed to talk with my spiritual director. My spiritual director was out of the country. And there was no way that I could reach my spiritual director. I didn't know how to contact her. And I didn't know where she was even, actually, outside. I knew she was in Mexico, but I didn't know exactly precisely where. So there was no way. So I said to my guardian angel, I said, angel of God, my guardian dear, please, please communicate to my spiritual director's guardian angel and please have her call me. I have an urgent need. Please have her call me. And I want to tell you, as soon as I finished praying that prayer, the phone rang. It was my spiritual director calling me from Mexico. And I said, why did you call me? And she said, I don't know. I just had this prompting interiorly to give you a call, and I responded to it. Amazing, isn't it, how that works? That same type of a situation happened one other time in my life involving a phone call. And again, it involved my spiritual director. And I was... just had experienced something in prayer that left me stunned and shocked. And I said, Father God, I said, nothing would bring me more happiness than to hear from my spiritual director right now. And with that, my spiritual director called immediately called. Again, I said, Father, why did you call? And he said, I just felt like I had to give you a call right this very moment. And we were able to talk about the situation, and he gave me the confirmation that I needed to have. So, you know, God is always intervening in our lives. Sometimes it's very directly, like Philip experienced in these two experiences that I'm sharing with you now. But oftentimes it comes in subtle ways, quiet ways, gentle ways. So, you know, I'd love to know how God has intervened in your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you. Available for you too out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use that chat feature to get your question, your comment, your word of encouragement up on the board. If you're a first timer, either way, let us know so we can ring our bell. Do want to remind you too, we love to receive your questions via womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. If it's a prayer request, please note that in the subject line. And we will be sure to try to get to that prayer on air as quickly as we possibly can. We're here for you today talking about ways in which God has intervened in our life. Surely he's intervened in your life. Let us know how that's been right here at Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. Get on out to our website at womenofgrace.com. Coming right back. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to be with you today. We certainly are looking forward to hearing from you right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. I am encouraging you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 3986. If you're a first-time caller, let Ryan Penny know. Additionally, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature. If you are a first-time submitter, mention that there, and we will also ring our bell for you. Phone lines are lighting up. I think we've got one or two that are left open. That's it. And you know why? Because you haven't called yet. And those particular lines have your name on them. So I'm inviting you to pick up the phone and to give us a call here. We have Diana with us today. She's in Tampa, Florida, and she's with us via TuneIn Radio. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
I'm doing really well. So tell me, where are you in Tampa? What part of Tampa?
Yes. Well, I live in a neighborhood called Tanning Country.
I know where that is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I'm from Pinellas County. And I am from the east side of Pinellas County, and you are in the west side of Tampa. So Town and Country is very close to us there. Well, I'm happy to have you with us today. So what's your question or your comment?
Thank you. Yes, well, a few months ago, I called because I was debating on the idea of starting a new kind of business on my own, because what I work, I've been working here for a long time, but it's one of those thoughts that you feel that you want to do more, that you have talents, but you just don't know them yet. And when you don't know them yet, you don't, you know. So I started praying about it for a long, long time, and that's how I got close to God, because of this radio. And I started knowing God a bit better, and then it got to my mind that I got to get married first, because I wasn't married, and then start from there. You had to be mentally okay to do things well. And so I did that, and then I started, and then I talked to you and said, why not? You can, my idea was to help businesses to promote themselves on Facebook and Instagram, and I will help them with the promotion. So I did. I started promoting myself, and I started receiving people approach me for help. I haven't really been like, I mean, I'm not really a person who have a lot of clients yet, so I'm still working on that. I'm receiving training and all that, to academy and all that stuff. But now I have other people approach me for other businesses they want me to get on. And they sound good, and then I'm like, I got like another business on the side doing like sewing cosmetics and skincare, and then another person approached me to, you want to help people with the credit, and stuff like that. You know, different things that people do out there, and then they give you income or whatever. But I feel like I'm putting my attention on a lot of things, and I don't know if I'm doing well doing that.
Let me ask a couple of questions here, Diana. Just points of clarification. So you started this business and you're promoting businesses online. So now these other people are approaching you. Do they want you to work for them, or do they want you to promote their businesses online? In other words, does it come under?
No, they don't.
Do they want to come under your umbrella, or do they want you to come under their umbrella?
Under their umbrella. Like, okay, you want to be part of my company? We offer these. Send me the information. And stuff like that. One of them I did interview in Facebook because I want to start getting attention from people. So one of the two that offered me to work with them, he was just a guest who I invited to my Facebook Live to talk about being an entrepreneur and all that, so that people there understand why to have a business and all that, so that I can start getting myself known of what I'm doing. But the other person saw an ad that I did that I help businesses promote themselves, and she approached me that she would working for this company if I wanted to know about it.
Okay.
I also could make extra income, blah, blah, blah. And
sure.
So I gave an opportunity to just take.
Okay, you know? So my next question to you is, how is your business doing? Is it thriving? Are you doing well in your business?
I'm not there yet. I'm still getting to know all of this stuff about it. Like, I'm guiding, because I've been doing this for only 4 months.
Okay.
So what I did, I signed up for an academy.
Okay.
But I'm not making money yet.
Okay, so, well, let me ask you this. Did you pray and discern about starting this business in the first place?
I did, and I looked for information on how to start it.
Okay.
And then found all those tools.
So this is one of the ways in which, you know, we kind of discover if God's in the midst of this or not. So if we pray and we discern, right? If we pray and we discern about the possibility of a new venture, and we feel led in that direction, and, you know, we get these green lights to go forward, and we go forward, two things can happen. One, we can meet obstacles along the way, right? And it's not uncommon whenever we set out to do the Lord's will that we meet obstacles along the way. Oftentimes, it's not taking shape and form the way that we hoped it would, or it's not happening as quickly as we want it to, or whatever the case may be. That's not unusual, because the evil one tries to thwart God's plans for us, right? So he tries to interfere. Another way in which he can interfere is that he can keep us very distracted, you know, with all kinds of other possibilities. And whether those other possibilities come by way of potential job offers like you're experiencing here, or whether they come by way of, just the world in which we live that seems to be taking up and occupying more of our time, or it comes through family matters, you know, he will try to distract us. So he'll try to set obstacles in our path, hurdles to be overcome, or he'll try to distract us from the path that he's got us on by something that appears to be a whole lot better. And why is that? It's because the evil one doesn't want us to do the job or the work that God is calling us to do, because he knows that that is going to be a blessed work. So I would say this, if you prayed and you discerned about starting this business, I wouldn't jump off the ship right now. I would continue to move forward, knowing that these other opportunities are available to you. And it sounds like these are the kinds of businesses that you can get involved in anytime. And I would just move forward for a time, gain the knowledge that you need, and give it a whirl and see what happens. All the time begging for and asking God's direction. But it is absolutely not uncommon that when we set off and we give a commitment to a particular path, that we will meet very big obstacles. We'll have to die to self in a whole lot of ways, and there will become all kinds of other distractions, enticing opportunities, or just difficulties that we've got to overcome. So that's my advice to you. And, you know, I've lived through this for numbers of years now. So I know what it is I'm talking about with regard to that kind of process of discernment. So I hope that helps you, Diana. And I appreciate your call. And gee whizzikers, I hope everything's great in Tampa, Florida. Love that area of the country. God bless you now. We're going to move forward here. We've got Robin in Buffalo, New York with us. Station of the Cross is how she's joined us today. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Jana. So nice to talk to you.
Thank you. It's nice to have you with us.
I'm hoping what I share will help somebody else out there who was feeling this. I had two experiences in my life, and I always used to think, how could you be at peace in heaven knowing that your loved ones are suffering down here? And I talked to a priest about what it was I had, and he said it was a vision. I was sitting there, and there was a ladder up against one of them old buildings, the old red brick buildings.
Yes.
And my brother was climbing ahead of me, and I was climbing after him, and he made it to the ledge, but the ladder fell, and I must have died because I seen myself looking down. But I felt the most incredible peace. There is no explaining this. There's no explaining that peace unless you felt it. And I remember looking back at my brother, and I was very concerned. He was crying looking at me, but I felt so peaceful. And then I remember drifting over, and I was in a church, and it must have been a mass for me. But the thing was the peace was absolutely amazing, but I still deeply cared and could see my family and pray for them. The second time I was at a picnic with some people, and I was sitting on a bench, and they were absolutely verbally abusing me and taunting me, and I was just about ready to break. And all of a sudden, this was years later, that mm-hmm. same exact peace came over me. And nothing mattered what they said. And I still loved them, and I felt that incredible peace. So I'm hoping this will help someone. Even if you die, you still you're concerned about those. You pray for them that you've left behind.
You know, this is beautiful what you're sharing, because it's right in line with what the church fathers have told us. And I'll mention again that I had interviewed Jim Papandrea on his book, What Really Happens When We Die. EWTN Religious Catalog, by the way, carries that book, so you can order a copy of it. But the idea is that, you know, and John the 23rd, now St. John the 23rd, Pope John the 23rd, made a comment once, a beautiful statement, which really, I must tell you, brought me such consolation when my son passed away. And it was in a book, a devotional book that Susan Tassone had written. I think it's 30 Days with the Holy Souls. And it's a meditation for each day. And I memorized this one because it was so meaningful. And John the 23rd says, our loved ones are not separated from us, only invisible to us. Our loved ones are not separated from us, only invisible to us. So they are very close. Now, they don't have the attributes of God, you know, so they don't know all things. They're not omniscient. So, you know, they're not privy to everything that's going on in our lives. But when we do pray to them and we ask for their intercession, they are very aware, of what our needs are.
Yeah.
And they and so, you know, I mean, do they get to survey everything? I don't think that they see everything, but I do think mm-hmm. that they do have the capacity to know what's going on when we seek that of them. So
yeah.
just beautiful yeah. realities that we have.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I mean, who could explain that peace unless you've experienced it?
Right.
It's just amazing. But I believe that they are praying for us at times we need prayer.
Yes.
It's not like we're peeking in and looking at their life. You know, it's just incredibly peace. I seen my brother crying. He knew I was dead. But it was just amazing, just
yeah.
beautiful.
And, you know, isn't it true, too, that when we're grieving them, I'm sure that they're very aware of that. And I'm sure that they're obtaining graces for us to be able to move forward in that grief and not get stuck in that grief, because they wouldn't mm-hmm. want that. They are at peace, you know, they
yes.
are at peace.
Yeah.
And they want us to know that peace. So
that's exactly what it was I felt.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I wanted them to know I'm okay. I'm peaceful.
That's right. That's just beautiful. And of course, you know, we're counting on the fact that in this vision, you died in a state of grace. And we want to pray for our deceased loved ones, you know, because nobody knows what happens when the soul separates from the body. So even if right. our loved one was not in a state of grace in the sense of living a holy life, we don't know how God intervenes at that moment. Jesus told St. Faustina that he gives every soul three chances to say yes to him. And even if a soul glances in his direction, he takes it for a yes. So, you know, we always pray for our deceased loved ones and they pray for us. Thank you so much for sharing. Those are beautiful, beautiful visions that you had. And I'm glad that your priest recognized them as such. Just beautiful, Robin. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And it's so good to talk to you. And I just hope
Thank
that
you.
Helps somebody out there.
I do too. I have no doubt that it is, and it will continue to do so. Thanks for your call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Mary. She's in Idaho today. Salt and Light Radio is the way she's with us. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, Jeanette. I just wanted to tell you, in the 41 years that I've been praying, I've never had a more powerful tool than the surrender novena.
Mm.
Now, our bishop asked the people to start praying this a couple of years ago. One of my best friends here has had an amazing amount of suffering in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she started saying this prayer. I knew she was doing a novena. And so she was saying it about 2 years. And then all these miracles started happening. And I said, one day she started talking about it, and I said, so that's the reason why you've grown so much. You know, I've noticed, and so I started saying it myself. And the way you talked about mulling over things in your mind mm-hmm. before, one of the things, each day in this novena has a reflection, but you're supposed to say after each reflection each day, oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we just went through a really hard thing with one of my sons who's a vet, and he wouldn't talk about it, and we knew he was depressed and really going down, so we decided to come up alongside of him and try to get him to talk. And what happened, we found out, is he had two of his animals die within a month. One died about 4 days after he had a surgery of an infection. They never could figure out why. And then another one died after he did a liver biopsy and he accidentally nicked a gallbladder. And he was so devastated. Well, we started saying this prayer for him. And it was amazing. His old employer said, he wrote him a letter. He offered him a job. He said, we want you to come back here. He said, these things happen. And he said, I want you to come and start a new clinic for us. And he said, you are actually in the top 1% of veterinarians. He said, I've seen a lot of vets. He said, you are so good. You just need someone to help you build up your confidence again. And this was like within 2 days of us starting this novena.
How beautiful.
And I wrote my son a letter, and I told him about this novena, and I asked him to start praying it. I don't know if he did or not, but the thing is this novena was given to Father Dottolindo.
Mm-hmm.
And Padre Pio said of Father Dottolindo, he said he was the purest soul that he had ever met in his life. And we all know that Padre Pio was an immense giant. I mean, he could read souls.
Yes.
And he said that about this. And Father Dottolindo, Dottolindo means pain. And he said that he was given this novena by Jesus himself. So all I can say is the surrender novena, it works miracles.
Well, I really want to thank you so much for sharing about this novena, because I think that this is a very important novena for people. And it was Rachel, I believe, at the beginning of the program that was talking, via YouTube on how does she let go of all of these worries and fears. And it does take, an act of the will to do that. But God never expects for us to overcome these things by ourselves. He's always at the ready with the grace. And this is a beautiful novena, and it's available out there online. I just went out there through my search engine to find it as you were sharing with us about it, Mary. And in a day and time like that we're living through right now, and people are so fearful and so worried and so concerned, this would be a beautiful way to begin to experience that peace that surpasses understanding. So thank you for sharing it. We're so blessed in our church because we have so many beautiful devotional practices that aid us, and God wants us to have those aids. So thank you, Mary, for being an instrument of bringing God's peace to so many hearts today. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank God bless you, Jeanette. You're a beautiful soul.
Oh, may God be praised. Thank you, Mary.
We all are so blessed by you.
I pray that there's blessing that comes through the program, but that's all up to the Lord. It's his stuff that's doing.
Jeanette, truly, truly, you have blessed me more than any other person.
Oh, my goodness.
You really have. I've been listening to you for years. You.
Oh, Mary.
Well, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I've heard you grow over the years. You're so wise, and you're just so blessed by God because you make yourself available. And thank you from all of us.
Well, thank you, Mary. And thank you for being a beautiful daughter of God. We appreciate you. Bye-bye now. Let's go on to Teresa. She is in Ashland, Wisconsin. Oh, my goodness. It's so lovely. People from all over listening today. Sirius XM Station 130. How are you doing, Teresa?
I'm doing great, Jeanette. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome. So what's going on here?
Well, I just wanted to share some God's will experiences. In 1977, I consecrated myself to Jesus through Mary. I'm a member of the Militia for the Immaculata. In 2016, I became the Adoration Chapel Coordinator at our parish. And it was in 2019 when I was going about my business. And I had this thought. It was a commanding thought: call a person. So I called that person because I don't ignore what God tells me, and I felt directed by the Holy Spirit at that moment. I submit my will to God's will all the time, and so I'm open, willing, and I'm honest that I really submit my will constantly to God. So in this moment, I called up that person, and she sounded very, very sick. And I had known that 3 weeks prior she had, like, a respiratory thing going on, like a cold, really bad cold. And then I hadn't had any contact with her since that 3 weeks. And I work at a hospital, and I was directed to watch some education on sepsis. And I laughed because I work in a psychiatric unit, mental health unit, and I was saying to myself, I'll never, ever need to use this knowledge. And it's kind of funny that I'm actually doing this. But putting that aside, so I called this person, and she was very sick. And I said, I'm coming to see you right now. And she said, no, I'm going to go see the doctor. I got a doctor's appointment in the afternoon. And I still was really concerned based on what she said and how she sounded. And I said, can I come and see you? And she said, no, I got too many things going on. I gotta go see the doctor, and I'll be fine. Thank you. So I let it go. And then later that day, I called her up again, and I said, did you get to the doctor yet? And she said, no, I didn't. And I said, well, I'm only a few miles from your home. Can I come and see you?
And we're in the last minute here, Teresa.
No. Okay, real quickly. So I went to her house. I stayed with her that night, and I realized she needed to go to the hospital, even after having seen a doctor that day. So we took her to the hospital. She stopped breathing in the emergency room.
Oh,
and, of course, she was in good hands. And then she was taken up to intensive care. For 4 days, she stayed there. And then for a week of recovery in the medical surgical
unit.
Well,
right down to the minute. And this is, let me just sum up. This is why we heed the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God used you as an instrument in her life. Friends, a good lesson for us to end on here today. Thank you for being with us. God bless you now. Bye-bye.